Sir Charles Plum, he was a U.S. Navy jet pilot. He successfully made 74 combat missions. And he had only 5 days left when he was ordered to do 75th mission. Only 5 days left. I bet he already packed everything in his backpack and boxes, and he's so ready and excited to go home. But unfortunately, during that mission, his plane was destroyed by a surface-to-air missile, and Plum ejected and parachuted into enemy's hands. And he was captured, tortured, and put into a small cell. He spent about 6 years in prison. And during that time, he decided to be a chaplain, and he started his ministry in that prison. And finally, he was released back to the United States, and he became an inspirational speaker. And one day, Plum and his wife were sitting in a restaurant, and there was a guy at another table. And he came to them, and he said, "Oh, you are Captain Plum. You flew jet fighter from the aircraft carrier Kitty Hawk, and you were shot down." And Plum was surprised, of course, and he asked, "How in the world did you know that?" And the man replied, "I was a sailor on that aircraft carrier." And he continued, "I packed your parachute." Plum couldn't sleep that night thinking of him. Later he said, "I do not remember that guy, the man. I wonder how many times I might have seen him, but didn't say hello or how are you, because I was a fighter pilot and he was just a sailor. But he helped me to do my missions, and he saved me with my parachute." He said, "He saved me." Today we have the scripture about three servants. They were given talent by their master. One was given 5 talents, and another was given 2 talents, and the last one, 1 talent. And after a long time, the master came and settled the account with them. And the first 2 servants, they multiplied theirs. But the last one brought exactly the same, what he was given. So the first two servants, they were complimented. But the last one was scolded so bad. I kept reading this story, and I was stuck with one verse in this story. The master said, "For those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." It's in the Bible. We are living in the capitalized world, and it sounds like the Bible is supporting the rich people only in this socio-economic system. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer, even including social injustice. Then what about my neighbors who do not have jobs? They really want to work, but do not have jobs. And what about my friend who cannot afford to support their family abundantly? And what about many faithful Christians who are not millionaires? But while reading these verses again and again, I found myself missing the essence of this story. The master, he didn't say, "You are good and trustworthy because you made a good money." He didn't say that. He didn't say, "You are wicked and useless. You are nothing." because you didn't make any profit for me. He didn't say that. But instead, the master's point was to see whether these guys, they have done their best or not. Whether they have been faithful to the task that the master gave to them. It was not about money. It was not about profit. It was about their attitude and faithfulness to their master. So let's talk about what they were given. Talent. The talent, we hear, a lot. You are talented, you are skilled, you are gifted. The talent was one of the several ancient units of mass, which was used in many places and many times. So Babylonian Empire, Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, and Egypt Empire, and Israel. And the value of one talent differed depending on the places and the times, of course. And the book of Iliad by Homer describes how the emperor Achilles gave a half talent to his servant king, half talent of gold to his servant king Antilochus as a prize. A half talent, not even one talent. Likewise, the talent was the measurement of gold. And even one talent was a tremendous amount of value. According to the Jewish encyclopedia, in Jesus' time, one talent was 130 pounds of gold. That's a lot. Can you imagine that? Today, it means more than $3 million. The last servant said, "I was afraid." I think he spoke that not because he thought his master was a harsh man, but also because it was too massive amount of money. I believe that was the biggest amount of money that these guys have ever dealt with. And I want to focus on this story from the lens of the last servant, the last one. He was entrusted with a massive amount of money, one talent. And he said, "I was afraid." But he has eyes. He has eyes to see the other people. Two of his friends who received more than him, 5 talents and 2 talents. I think it is also possible that he was disappointed, frustrated, and even upset with his portion. He was already given a large amount of money, but when he compared his portion to his friends, I think he felt it's small. Because of comparing, he could have been disappointed and even frustrated. He might not have been able to see what he has in his hands. Let's think about ourselves, what we have. You may not be a wealthy person. We may not be millionaires. I'm not. Some of you might think, I do not have an important position in my workplace, in my community, in my church, and even in my own family. Oh, God didn't give me anything really good. But one of the challenging words that I heard is, we do not recognize what we have, how many gifts and privilege we have in our lives. I'm not saying that we should be satisfied with what we have all the time. What I'm saying is we have to see what we have, what privilege and what gift we have in our lives. And spiritually, we have Jesus Christ, who died for us and who is risen. and we are called to be Christians. A lot of people think they become Christian by their will. No, no, no. God calls you to this church. God calls you to be Jesus followers. And we have this beautiful community, Sterling Wesley United Methodist Church, the body of Christ. And we are fully known to God, and we have our neighbors around us whom Jesus commands us to love. And we are given our talents, and we have something to do with that. Some of you might say, especially when nomination season comes, I'm not good and so and so. I don't do computer. I have no beautiful voice. I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know what I can do. Then I may say, really? Some of you know how to use computer. Some of you know how to fix something. Some of you have a beautiful smile. And some of you love to meet and talk with people. Then you may be a part of a membership care team. They will love you. Some of you love gardening, and you may be a part of a trustee. I mean, you may use your passion for gardening to give glory to God. And trustees, they will love you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know what? I am not good at fixing some stuff. Using hammers and stuff, whenever I try to fix something, I break it. And you can ask Jen, because I broke one thing in my office already. Yeah, I mean, I have been to mission trip before, and because I knew nothing about changing a toilet or replacing a windows, so I was a delivery guy. So some of the church members, they shouted, what they are doing, they shouted, "Pastor, I need a hammer." Then I was running to them with a hammer. And some of them said, "Pastor, I need a screw and nails." Then I was running here and there with a screw and nails. I think I was good. I was a good delivery guy. And I can tell you, if you don't find a particular ministry in our church which you are passionate about, why don't you start? I'm going to stand by you, pray for you, support you. Why don't you start? We don't have to be perfect. But I'm sure, 100% sure, we will find our talent which God gave us. And God is going to be happy with that. I've told you I had surgeries many times, so I love to visit people in the hospital. That matters to me, because I have been there. I have been there, and I know how they might feel. That matters to me. And let's think about this. If you are a survivor of cancer, you would fully understand somebody who is now suffering. If you have lost your beloved one, you would give proper prayer and support to the people who are currently having a difficult moment. You may find your talent. Each one of them is precious. I want to remind you of Charles Plum. What if? What if he didn't have the sailor who packed his parachute? What if he didn't have a repairman on the aircraft carrier? What if he didn't have a cleaning person who cleaned the airstrip? And what if he didn't have a controller in the control tower? He thought he made it by himself. But all those people working with him, they were all one unit for the mission. And I do not want you to think those three people in the Bible as individuals. I want to consider them as a group, a community. And I want to consider this church as a unit, one church, the one body of Christ. We may be the first two servants before God, or we may be the last one. And remember, God doesn't want us to be frustrated with what we have. God doesn't want us to bury our talent under the ground. The talent is something given to us. And God wants us to do our mission and to be trustworthy. We are entrusted with our talent and with our people around us by our Master, God. And I think we are definitely not the one who received one talent and buried that under the ground. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We would be those two people who use their talents for the good works. And let me ask you, what is your precious talent in your life? I want you to think about that this week. And what is your mission? God wants you to work.